interdenominational mission organisation, which used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ. It's now called CRU. And in Australia, the name used to be Student Life. It's now Power to Change. Lots of names there. You might recognise some of them. We have about 19,000 staff in 190 different countries. And in Australia, our largest strategy is the university campus strategy. We have about 1.3 million uni students in Australia. And ordinarily, I know COVID times are different, but ordinarily about 25% of those are from overseas. Many people come from countries where it's very difficult to hear the gospel. So it's a really strategic place for us to be ministering. And we aim basically to do three things. We want to connect students to Jesus, build them in their faith, and send them out to do the same. So, whirlwind update from last year. I'll try and just keep it to 4 or 5 minutes here. Last year, 2020, what a year. We started off the year as normal around this time last year, meeting new students, having our regular evangelism times, discipleship meetings, and Bible study groups. Then after 4 weeks on campus, as everyone knows, we sort of life changed. We went into lockdown. Thankfully, during semester one, we were able to keep meeting with our existing students through video calls. And actually, one girl that a friend and I had started meeting with, we kept doing the Christianity Explained course online with her. And she actually gave her life to Jesus during that lockdown. So that was really exciting. In general, though, we tried some different strategies to reach people online, and some had more success than others. But in general, last semester was quite difficult in terms of meeting new students, so we weren't able to connect with as many new people. And by the end of the semester, a lot of the students were really ready for face-to-face community again, as I'm sure we all were. Mid-year, we normally have a mid-year conference. This year it went online. It was a digital conference, and thankfully in Queensland we were able to meet in small groups in people's homes, so we had a small community there. Semester two at the University of Queensland, where I'm based, we were actually able to be fully back on campus, which was amazing. Among all the universities in Queensland, in Australia, this was a very unusual situation. So we were very excited for that. And during last semester, we saw some really encouraging connections with new students, both Christians and non-Christians. And we really, experienced the power of Christian community. And it was during that semester that we saw the completion of a story that began about 18 months earlier. So I don't know if we've got a photo of a group of boys there. Thanks, Luke and Eddie. Yes, this group here. So in 2019, in our mid-year conference, we had 4 Aussie non-Christian students who came. That sounds like a really small number, but for Aussie students, that's actually a huge number of non-Christians. So three guys, one girl. At that conference, one student, the girl, she gave her life to Jesus. The others were still wrestling through their questions. At the end of the year, one of the other guys also gave his life to Jesus. So there were two to go. Some of our students, some of the guys, kept meeting with these remaining guys, and they were sharing life, they were sharing genuine friendship with them over the course of the year as they kept exploring. And these guys often came to our socials, and they were known and loved by many in our community. And one of them even, he knew the gospel so well, he would actually go out on evangelism with one of the Christian guys, even though he wasn't a Christian, but he just liked talking about this stuff, and he was even able to explain the gospel before he'd even given his life to Jesus. During semester two, at different points, both of these guys made the decision to surrender their lives to Jesus, and they're now really involved, and genuine fruit was there. So yeah, praise God for that. So it highlighted to me the importance of investing in people over the long term and the important role that Christian community can play in people's journeys to Jesus. And I suspect that's very much the case here as well in New Hope Church community. One last story. If we go to the next slide, thanks guys. The one with the girls. So during one of our outreach times, early last semester, I went out with, I'll call her Teresa. She's a Christian student who had never shared her faith before, but she was keen to start chatting. So we approached a few people, and some people weren't really interested in chatting, so we just kept going. And we eventually met this girl who I'll call Amanda. And she was initially a little hard to read. Was she interested or was she not? But it turned out she had been spiritually seeking over the past year, and she was keen to chat, and she was keen then to follow up and do Christianity Explained with us. We kept meeting with Amanda that semester and shared the gospel with her through Christianity Explained. And after we'd checked in with her after most of the studies to see where she was at, and after this particular study, I thought, oh, well, I won't push her. I won't check in again today. But Amanda stopped us and she said, oh, actually, I think I might be ready to give my life to Jesus today. And we were like, wow, that's amazing. So we chatted through that a little bit with her. And Amanda actually, yeah, prayed with us on the spot there on the university grounds to receive Jesus. And she has, straight away, she came with us to one of the socials. The next week, she brought one of her non-Christian friends to the socials. So we're looking forward to continuing journeying with Amanda this year as well. So end of the year, the last thing we finished with was our schoolies outreach, and we weren't sure if that would go ahead because of different COVID things, but praise God it did. So this was a summer mission trip that we always run. We have various mission trips, but this one is to the school leavers on the Gold Coast. We had a team of 44 missionaries and students, and the aim is to share, to have spiritual conversations with the schoolies, but also to train our students to give them experience and confidence in sharing their faith, which certainly happened. So there weren't as many actual school leavers at the Gold Coast this year. There were still some, but it was more of a general community outreach. And some of our students who'd not done much outreach before came away with a real passion to be sharing the gospel, and we pray that that's going to continue for them on campus this year. So moving into this year, the first part of this year is focused on sort of broad sowing, getting to know a lot of new students. We actually start orientation week tomorrow, so we'd love your prayers for that. That's when a whole bunch of new students come and they check out all the different clubs and societies to be a part of, and we try and meet them that way. We had a beginning of year event a couple of weeks ago, and we had a whole bunch of new students who came along, so we're praying they'll continue. So they would probably be the prayer points coming up, just that God would connect us with the right new students as the year begins. Both seekers, students who are exploring faith, and also Christians who want to be trained in sharing their faith. And if anyone here happens to know any uni students who fit those categories, please be in touch. So just to wrap up, just want to express again how appreciative I am of New Hope Church and Pastor Matt and this family here, and different individuals who are financial partners or prayer partners. I value you so much. And I do often thank God for your generosity and your heart to see the gospel spread. I know you have many, many ministries here, many ways that you're seeing God's kingdom expanded. If you would like to connect more and chat further, or if you'd like to receive my every 2-month email newsletter, or become a prayer or financial partner, I've got a little table at the back, so you're welcome just to fill in a little form or grab a prayer card or chat to me at the end. But thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Yasmin. Do you want to stay here? Let's all just pray for Yasmin together, shall we? Father, we thank you for Yasmin and the amazing work she does at UQ. And Lord, we lift up Power to Change, this incredible ministry. We pray that you'll give them fruit and favor and victory, that you'll open doors for them, and that they will see a great harvest of souls, and that you'll raise up and send out many more workers in the harvest field. Lord, we thank you that we can partner with them, and we want to bless them and see them bear much fruit this year. We bless them in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, Yasmin. Bless you. Come on, give her a big hand. All right, let's send all the New Hope kids out now. And I reckon I'm going to go for about 20 minutes today. Is that all right? I reckon I can smash my sermon out in 20 minutes. You know, last year I preached that everything's subject to change without notice at any given time. So I'm going to cull this down. It's going to be a miracle. It's going to be a New Hope miracle today. I'm going to smash this out in 20 minutes because I know it's been a long service already. But I just was praying about it. I feel like this word ties in with everything that's been happening today as well. So as the kids are heading out, a couple of quick announcements. We had 20 salvations on Friday through New Hope Care. Praise God. Glory to God for that. For those who want to be a part of Fridays, it's 10:45 a.m. The entree is served. So it's a bit earlier than it was last year. So 10:45 for the entree. Then we do the message. And then we serve up the main course about 11:30-ish, a little bit earlier maybe, depending on how things go. And we then send teams out around the shelters. So you can either come to the King's Table and be a part of it, or you can be in the street team that goes out, or you can do both as well. So we've rejigged things a bit this year, so please pray for that. And it was amazing on on Friday, I was up at Mansions, which is up near Spring Hill there, and you know, we have a bit of trouble sometimes when we hand out the food because they like to come and then you ask them, oh, would you like me to pray for you or would you like a Bible? And often they go, no, 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 whatever, you know. And then you kind of talk to them and they kind of come and go. And I was talking to our team saying, let's just slow it down a bit because we don't want to miss the opportunity to pray for people, you know. And so we prayed about it and we arrived at Manchester. I had Natalie and Marsha there with me and a few others in the car with me. It was a great time. And anyway, we rocked up at Mansions up there, and Andy, our Papua New Guinean brother, where's Andy? He went through and he knocked on all the doors and said, come on, free food, hot food, you know, and they all come out. And we started serving them one by one, and I just thought, there's 10, 12 people here. And I just felt this boldness come on me. Anybody feel that sometimes? We've been reading through the book of Acts in our devotions with the kids recently and Carol at breakfast, and I just see the number of times Paul goes boldly. And God raises him up to do something for such a time as this. And I've been praying for more boldness. How many of you know we all need more boldness? Amen? And I just felt this Holy Spirit boldness come on me. And I said, all right, everyone, before we serve up the food, I just want to share a couple of quick things. We're from New Hope Church. We do this every Friday because of the love of Jesus. This is what Jesus would do. He would bring meals to people and give them physical food, but he'd also give them spiritual food. And I just reckon there's some of you here today, you haven't got your life right with Jesus. And today you can come to Jesus. And I shared the gospel. I shared John 3:16. I shared a bit. And I said, let's all bow our heads and let's pray. And I prayed a blessing over them. And I said, who wants to give their life to Jesus? And four hands came up. Hallelujah. This is in the middle of the street up there at Spring Hill. And we prayed the sinner's prayer and we blessed them. And it's like these chains came off their lot. They came alive. And I think one of the ladies is here today. You know, it's amazing how God is bringing people in from the highways and the byways around this city, amen? And I want to challenge you, take that step wherever you get the chance. Be bold, amen? Someone say boldness. We've got to be bold and be ready to do what God calls us to do. So I also just feel like with what's happening here the last couple of weeks, we should have some baptisms soon. So we're going to work out how to fill up that thing with water soon, and we're going to get some baptisms happening. So if you want to get baptized, come and see me. We'd love to dunk you. Don't worry, we don't hold you under for too long. I've never lost one yet, actually, so yeah. So come along if you want. Let me know if you want to get baptized. And also, just wanted to mention that after the service today, in the creche, we're going to have an information session for ministry school. Now, for those who don't know about ministry school, it's starting on the 25th of February, and it's going to be every Thursday night during term time. We'll have breaks during the holidays. It's going to be 7 to 9 p.m., Mike and Rach are going to be here leading worship, so we're going to have worship and prayer and prophecy, moving in the Spirit. Pastor Chris Bowman is going to be our main lecturer in Bible College, and we really believe that part of our vision for this year is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And I think it's already started. Look at the number of people that got up to preach today already, you know. But I believe the Lord wants to raise up a mighty army and get ready for what's to come, a great harvest to come. So we really believe it's a year of equipping and raising up saints. So Pastor Chris is going to do a lot of the teaching. I'll do some. Carol will. We're going to invite Pastor Alejandro to do some stuff via Zoom with us. Pastor Graham Jones, Andrew Cook, Dr. Jerry Stott. We're going to get a whole bunch of different teachers in throughout the year. And we're going to be having three. It's going to be ministry school in 3D. Discover, develop, deploy. We want you to discover your gifts, develop your gifts, and deploy your gifts. Amen? So it's not just for church ministry. Some of you are called to business. Some of you are called to media. Some of you are called. It's not just to train you up to be in church ministry. It's to be training you up to be in ministry in the marketplace, wherever you're called to be. Amen? So we want to train and equip the saints. Now, we've come to a decision about the price. It's $200 per year. So if you want to sign up for the whole year, all it is $200. Now, that's cheap as chips compared to most ministry schools, just to cover the admin fees. But we want you to be committed if you are committed. If you want, that's if you want a certificate, if you want to do the assignments, if you want to have, we're also going to do some mentoring. We're going to have a ministry school retreat. There'll be other things that's a part of that. So that's if you want to come and be a student and sign up for the whole year. And we'd love for you to think about that. If you just want to come as a once-off, it's going to be open to the public every week anyway. And we're going to do a Facebook Live every week anyway. We just feel it's got to be available for everyone. So please, be involved. either as committed to the whole year or just turn up on Thursday nights when you can. Let me just get a quick show of hands. Who wants to do ministry school as a student for the whole year this year? Praise God. All right, awesome. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's a good start. Jesus had 12, 13. That's a great start. 14 of them. Great. So we really want you to pray about being committed. And if you want to ask me all those difficult questions after the service, we'll have that in the creche as well. Okay, so also we are going to do monthly Wednesday night prayer and worship meetings, also like our encounter nights last year, as well on Wednesday nights. And New Hope Men's is starting up on the first Wednesday of March in the office area. Pete and Ross and Tim and a bunch of us blokes are going to be there, and it's going to be monthly. So first Wednesday of the month is for New Hope Men's. That started up. New Hope Women's has already started as well. So we encourage you to be a part of those. Also, there's many Connect groups in the church we'd love for you to be a part of. Okay, let's open up God's Word today. I've got a few verses that are on my heart, and we're going to start with a passage in Acts 13, verse 22. And let's just pray as we get into it. Father, today, as I open your Word, help me preach this Word real quick. Help me get this out. I know everyone's been here a long time. Lord, you can do it. You're a God of miracles. I pray everyone's heart will be ready to receive this Word. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to just deposit this Word in people's hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to bring a message called A Heart After God. Everyone say, A Heart After God. Come on, shout it out, A Heart After God. When Pastor Phil McCallum, who planted this church, handed over to me after 3 years, he shared a message and he said these words, it all comes back to the heart. And it was foundational for me as a young pastor, 30 years old when I took over this church. It challenged me to have a pure heart after God, to be teachable, to be forgiving, to be humble. And I believe the Lord's called me to be humble and I'm proud of that. That's a terrible joke. How many times have I used that one, Pete Watson? Too many times. But it's reminded me to always come back to having a heart after God. When you look at the life of King David, he was known as a man after God's own heart. In Acts 13, 22, in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul speaks about God's feelings about King David. He said, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. God is looking for hearts who are fully committed to him, who are all in. It was a lot of what we shared this morning. People just saying, I don't want to be lukewarm anymore. I want to be all in. He's looking for an army of believers who will do everything he wants us to do. For us to be the church God wants us to be, we must have a heart after God in everything we do. So how could David be considered a man after God's own heart? To understand this, we need to see what characteristics qualify for such a description. The answer to why David was considered a man after God's own heart is found in this verse. David did whatever God wanted him to do. An obvious question is, how could God still use David when he committed adultery and he was a murderer? Let's go back to the beginning of when David was called. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 to 13, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the prophet Samuel was sent out to anoint the next king of Israel. And Samuel, a great man of God, went out to Jesse's farm. And Jesse brought out all of his sons, all the big strapping sons, good-looking, strong-looking, mighty sons. And the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen any of these. So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons that you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's out tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Who wants that anointing? I live my whole life wanting that anointing from God. And it all comes back to your heart. You see, Jesse thought, "I'll bring out all my big guns. I'm sure one of them will be the next king. David will be right. He can look after the sheep." You know, in Middle Eastern culture, the shepherds were the least of the least. That's where the young, they just send them out there, they just ignore them. It was the worst job you could do. But when David was out in that shepherd field, the Lord was training him, preparing him. You know the Psalms in the Bible, 150 Psalms? David wrote half of them. And while he was in the field, he was learning. God was doing work on his heart. He was worshiping God. Psalm 23, the second most famous passage in the Bible. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down he leads me into greener pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My cup overflows." You know, Psalm 23, beautiful psalm. David wrote that because he knew that God is the good shepherd, amen? And that the Lord would never leave us or forsake us. Our cup overflows. He wants us to be with us. He wants to be with us all the time. He wrote all these beautiful psalms. You see, the Lord was preparing him to see if he would be faithful with the little things before he was blessed with the greater things, amen? And you know, that's the way the kingdom works. Out in the field, he learned to kill the lion and the bear. Now, I don't know if you've seen a bear. I don't know if you've seen a lion. But a young shepherd, that's pretty dangerous. But I can imagine David out there with his sling practicing all the time. He killed the lion and the bear. He was faithful in the small things. And that prepared him later to kill a giant named Goliath. And you see, there's two ways you can look at Goliath. You can look at him and say, "He's so big, he's going to kill me." Or you could look at him and say, "He's so big, I can't miss him." You've got to look at any giant with the eyes of faith, amen? Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forward all issues to him. You don't get scared about how big Goliath is. You look behind Goliath at how big God is. And God could topple any Goliath, amen? You see, David was trained in the shepherd's field. He was faithful with a little, and God gave him much because he had a heart after God. He was a worshiper. And you know, these songs we sing at the start of the service isn't just the warm-up act for the preaching. It's connecting with the heart of God when we worship. You know, there's worship 24/7 around the throne room of God. It's happening right now. And we join in with the angels in heaven when we worship, amen? I'm telling you, if you're faithful as a worshiper with God, God will bless you with greater things. Even though David was the youngest, the most insignificant, God raised him up for such a time as this. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David, and the anointing came upon him. You see, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called, amen? God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. God isn't looking for your ability, he's looking for your availability. And while David was in the shepherd field, he was available to God. And he was plucked from obscurity. The least of these, God raised him up. And you know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Friends, it all comes back to the heart. In 1 Samuel 17, where David was a young shepherd boy, he fearlessly slew the Philistine Goliath. Shortly before the fight, we see the direct evidence of David's faith. When David says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." David was fully aware that God was greater. And he had a faith that God would deliver him from danger. As we see in Scripture, David's faith pleased God. You see, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He was diligently seeking God in that shepherd field, and God rewarded him with great victories. You know, I've been to the Valley of Elah in Israel. You know, I've been to Israel before, twice. Love it. Amazing. Should go one day. I've been to the Valley of Elah, where David slew Goliath, and actually found this little rock. It had a little bit of blood on it. It might have been the one. I'm not sure. Might sell it on eBay one day. Who knows? But how many of you know, all it took was one stone. He picked up five, just in case Goliath's brothers came. I don't know. All it took was a sling and a stone to slay that giant. All it took was a sling, a stone, and faith to slay that giant. Amen? I don't know what giant you're facing. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a financial giant. Maybe it's something to do with your business or your work. Whatever giant is in front of you, don't look at the giant. Look to God. Amen? Because God is greater. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. And it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. David had an anointing that came from God, and the anointing breaks the yoke, amen? Friends, I want to encourage you today, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, when you've got an anointing from God, any giant that's before you can be defeated, and it all comes back to the heart. And you see, David was faithful with little things. You know, one of the parables the Lord put in my heart this week was Matthew 25:28. You'll see it on your screen. You know the story where the owner went away and he gave talents to three of his servants. And in verse 28 it says, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. I've never really seen that part of the parable of the talents before. The Lord really showed it to me. You know, one guy had one talent, one guy had 2 talents, one guy had 5 talents. The guy with the 2 and the 5, they doubled their investment. They brought a return and they blessed the master when he came back. But the guy that had the 1 talent, he buried it because he misunderstood what the master said. And we all know that we've all been given a portion of talents and we've got to use it for God. If we're faithful with a little, God will bless us with more. And this is what it says. Take the talent from the one guy that didn't use his talent and give it to him that has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be, more will be given, and he'll be given in abundance. For the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I want to challenge you with what God has given you, use it for the glory of God. Let God breathe on it. Let the anointing come. Slay that Goliath. With what little God has given you, God will multiply it. That's the way the kingdom works. If you're faithful in your heart with what God's given you, God will enlarge your territory and will bless you with more. You know, a talent was a monetary unit worth about 20 years' wages for a laborer. That's a big deal when you look at it in Jesus' time. David was faithful with the sheep. We've got to be faithful with our finances, faithful with our children, faithful in our marriage, faithful with being punctual, faithful with responding to emails and messages, faithful the words we speak, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We need to be faithful with every little thing in our life, and God will bless us with more. It is a kingdom principle. We must be found faithful with what God entrusts to us. You know, just this past week, I was sharing with a brother who's going through separation and having a tough time. And I just felt to share with him, and I felt to share with you today as well. I went through a divorce when I was 25, my first wife. And, you know, my daughter Lydia was only 3 or 4 at the time. And I'd been doing Bible college. I was a preacher. I was going to take the world for the gospel. And then my first wife left me, and it was just a horrible time. It was like a Job time. Everything was taken away in my life. The company I worked for went bust. I'd moved to Brisbane here. All my friends and family were down in Coffs Harbour in New South Wales. I was up here. I was alone. I was broken. I was rock bottom. And I was so tempted to run and just leave my daughter and leave everything up here and just go back to what I knew. But the Lord spoke to me and he said, Matt, you remain faithful with where I've brought you. Be faithful with the call on your life. And I felt the Lord say, be faithful to pay maintenance to your ex-wife. Be faithful when you pick up your daughter to make sure you're punctual. When you pick her up at Friday at 4 o'clock, you be there Friday at 4 o'clock. You drop her off Sunday at 5 o'clock, you drop her off Sunday at 5 o'clock. You don't have an attitude, you don't be lazy, you don't be slack. And the Lord said, one day your daughter is going to remember how faithful you were. Don't blow it. And I remember the Lord clearly saying to me, Matt, if you're faithful in all these things, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. You see, this is when the rubber hits the road, friends. Being a man or a woman of integrity, let your yes be yes and your no be no. When God tells you to do something, you've got to be obedient, amen? And so for many, many years, I had to go through that time with my ex-wife and my daughter, picking her up, dropping her off, and I'd feel a conviction to make sure I honoured God and I honoured them and I did the right thing to make sure that they would never be able to accuse me of being a lazy slack dad or this or that or whatever, you know. I had to be faithful in those small things and God would bless me with greater. That's just an example from my personal life. But what about you and your life? What about you and your workplace? What about you and your family? What about you with your finances? Where is God calling you to be faithful? It's important to dot the I's and cross the T's, to be honourable, to be punctual, to be faithful to what God's called you to do. Because I believe if you're faithful in the small things, God will bless you with greater things. And it actually shows the condition of your heart when you honour people and you do the right thing. Another reason David was a man after God's own heart is that he loved God's law. Of the 150 Psalms of the Bible, David wrote half of them. Writing at various and often troubling times in his life, he repeatedly mentioned how much he loved God's perfect word. Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, he said, "For I delight in your commands. I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands. I love them. I meditate on your decrees." Now, some people see the word meditate and think, oh, well, that's New Agey. It's not hard to see that David had an adoration for God's word. It says that he meditates on God's statutes. God granted understanding and wisdom through daily meditation of God's word. Now, I'm not talking about the New Age meditation where you empty your mind and you walk through a forest and you do this and you do that. I'm not talking about that weird stuff. I'm talking about meditating on God's word, amen? Some of you say, I don't know how to meditate. Have you ever stayed up at night worrying about something? That's meditating. Meditating means to dwell on something, to focus on something. When the enemy tries to drag you down and put rubbish in your mind, meditate on his word. That's how God works in your heart. That's how David was a man after God's own heart. He consumed God's word. He meditated on God's word. If we meditate on God's word every day, Joshua 1:8 promises, meditate on this book of the Lord day and night. Don't let its words depart from your mouth. Be careful to do everything written in it. The Lord says, I'll make you prosperous and successful at everything you put your hand to. Who wants that? Meditate on God's word. Memorize God's word. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. It's like that verse in Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, dwell upon these things. David was a man after God's own heart because he was truly thankful. He says in Psalm 26, I wash my hands in innocence. And I go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. David's life was marked of great seasons of great peace and prosperity, but also times of fear and despair. But through all the seasons of his life, he never forgot to thank the Lord for everything that he had. It's one of David's finest characteristics. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his courts with praise." As followers of Jesus, we need to remember to continually offer a sacrifice of praise, to be thankful for what God has done. If you want to enter someone's house, you go through their courts. If you want to enter a bit further, you go through the door. How do you get close to God? Enter his courts with thanksgiving. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. The key to getting close to God is being thankful for what God's done. Amen. Somebody give God some praise and thank him for how good he is today. Amen. And the last point I want to share today is that David was truly repentant. We all know the story of David's sin with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11, verse 2 to 5. David included adultery, lying, and murder in his list of sins. He sinned against God, and he admitted it in 2 Samuel 12:13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." But admitting our sin and asking for forgiveness is only half of the equation. The other half is repentance. Everyone say repentance. Some pastors are afraid to use that word these days. You'll hear it in New Hope all the time. Amen. Amen. Repent, you sinners. Amen. Jesus said, repent or perish, didn't he? A lot of pastors just preach this greasy grace this day. Come to Jesus. Everything will be okay. He'll let you do whatever you want. It's all right. Everything's fine. You've got freedom. You can live however you want. No. You repent from your sin, sinner. You've got to turn from your wicked ways. Amen? I was actually having a conversation with a guy at a shelter this week. He said, "Oh, look, I can't really get my life right with Jesus now because I love drinking and I love smoking. And I don't want to give them up." I said, "Mate, plenty of people in my church that still smoke. Plenty of people in my church that still drink. But you know what? The closer you come to Jesus, the less you want to do that stuff. Because you die to your flesh, don't you? You die to those cravings. You die to that stuff." And I said to this brother, "I'm going to pray for you. And I believe the Lord's going to take away your desires for that stuff. And you're going to have a desire for Jesus." I said, "The Bible says, when you seek the Lord with all your heart, he will be found by you." I want to challenge you. You start praying. You start reading this Bible. I gave him a devotional Bible. He's like, "You start this." And I'm hoping next week I'm going to have a testimony of this guy coming to Jesus. Amen. Friends, I want to challenge you. Just fall in love with Jesus. All that sin will just fall away. It just falls away. You just die to the flesh. You crucify your flesh when you come to Jesus. And you've got to confess it and you've got to repent. In Psalm 51, David prayed a prayer of repentance to God. He said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." That's a little bit like a judge and a guilty person in the court. The guilty person confesses their sins and the judge says, "You're guilty. You've got a death sentence. This is your sentence." And the gavel comes down. And then the judge takes off his wig and his cloaks and he comes down. And he opens the door and he says, "You're free to go. I'm going to take the penalty for your sin. And I'll be executed for your sin. You're free to go." That's what Jesus did on the cross, friends. Jesus paid the price for our sin. All we have to do is ask him. Ask him to forgive us of our sin. David was a man after God's own heart because he demonstrated his faith and was committed to following the Lord. Yes, his faith was tested on a grand scale and he failed a number of times. But he was known as a man after God's own heart because he sought the Lord's forgiveness. David loved God and he even danced before the Lord with all of his might. What a beautiful picture, amen? He loved to worship. He's a role model for all of us, even though he wasn't perfect. We need to come back to a heart of worship and a heart of repentance and a heart after God. Amen? I watched this movie recently called Saint Judy about a young lawyer who was helping refugees, often from a Muslim background. A lot of these refugees, they were the difficult cases that no one would ever touch. And she was mentored by this older lawyer who was a legend caring for these refugees in America. And she started taking on all these really difficult cases. And the old guy said, "Honey, why do you waste your time with those cases? I used to do them and they just make you lose your hair, they give you stress, they waste a lot of time, you don't get much money for it. Just take the easy cases. That's how you pay your mortgage, that's how you pay your staff, that's how you get on with life." And she looked at him, this young, on fire lawyer who had a heart for these poor and these refugees, and she said, "You used to be amazing. I've heard about you. I learned about you at university. You took on these tough cases and you were amazing." And he said, "I used to be like you." And he walked away and realized that he was a sellout. He was lukewarm. He was half-hearted. He was just paying the bills, going through the motions. And towards the end of the movie, spoiler alert, he realizes he's sold out and he needs to get back to having a fire and a passion in his belly to help these refugees. Because he saw the example of this young girl and thought, "That's what I need to get back to being like." As I watched that, I felt conviction in my heart. Sometimes as a pastor, I've been a sellout. I've taken the easy road. I've taken the safe road. I've just gone through the motions and done the status quo and done my this and done my that and felt like I'd just done what I needed to do, an average job. But God's looking for a heart that's fully committed to Him, amen. God wants us to be all in, not just to go through the motions. And that's what God's doing in this house. You heard the testimonies today from all these people. We're not going to be a lukewarm bunch anymore, are we? Amen. God is putting a rocket under us. He's putting a fire under us. He's burning up our hearts. The vision that the Lord gave me 2 weeks ago was an old house that was full of cobwebs and dust and paint that's peeling, and the Lord was going to blow a fresh wind through it. All the cobwebs would go, all the dust would go, a new lick of paint would come on the place and it would be shining and bright again. Restoration was the word the Lord gave me. We're seeing glimpses of revival in this church. Revival means when dead things come to life. And David, the psalmist, cried out, "Will you not revive us again, O God?" That's my cry. Revive us again, O God. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, we ask that you'll give us a soft heart towards you, a heart of repentance, a heart of thankfulness, a heart of worship, a heart that's faithful in the small things, a heart that can be trusted with the call of God and the anointing of God. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride. Forgive us for our lukewarmness and our selfishness and our half-heartedness. We don't just want to play church and go through the motions. We want revival, God. We want an awakening. We want restoration. Come and make us new. We want new wine in new wineskins today. Come, Lord Jesus, and give us a heart of flesh today, a heart of fire for you today, Lord God. We need you, God. We need a fresh touch from you today. Oh, forgive us, God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. As David prayed to have a new heart, to be cleansed, God, we pray the same today. Convict us of our sin. Renew us Refresh us, revive us, Lord. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I've got two questions as we close the service today. Firstly, have you received a new heart? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Friend, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, you can come to Him and receive a new heart. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be born again if you ask Him to come into your life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you will be saved. Friend, if today you want to be saved and you want to have your sins forgiven, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. If you want to pray that with me and mean it from your heart, I just want you to slip your hand up real high. Is there anyone today that says, yes, Jesus, come into my heart today? Good on you, brother, I see that. Anybody else that says, yes, I want to give my heart to Jesus, just slip your hand up high. Anybody wants to be born again and have their sins forgiven, just show me your hand real high today. Good on you, brother. Anybody else today? Anybody else, just slip your hand up real high. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you if you prayed that prayer today. We're going to open the altar in just a moment for those who want prayer today. And we had a brother got his back healed last week. Do you want to come up, brother, and share that testimony? Brother from Mexico, come on. You know, I believe we're going to see healings today. I believe we're going to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit today. I believe we're going to see people delivered of demons today. Whatever is going on in your life, I'm here to tell you the presence of the Lord is here for healing today. God started something amazing last week, and I believe it's going to continue in this church. If we keep that revival culture, amen. Who's hungry for God to move in this place? Come on, brother, share your testimony.
Good morning, church. I got a terrible accident. I was actually in a platform counting some boxes. And then when I wanted to come down out of this platform, I fell over on my back, and that I started to bleed through my mouth because I hit my head also. The guy that was with me, he was more in shock than me. I just couldn't believe I fell. I was just boom in the ground, and I hit the concrete really bad. And he told me, don't move for about 5 minutes, because I wanted just to get up and continue the fight, you know. But eventually, after 5 minutes, I started to just wiggle my hands, my fingers, and I noticed that they were okay. But when I wanted to get up, my back was killing me. You see, brothers and sisters, I came to the Lord in 1994, in June 27, about 10 o'clock in the morning. I decided to kill myself because I broke my spine and I spent 3 months in the floor with a broken back. It was so bad that I was going to end a quadriplegic. I remember the day before I committed suicide, years before, in America, in a prison. A black African-American gave me a book called The Cross and the Switchblade by Nicky Cruz. And I read this book, and that testimony touched me because it was very similar like mine. Street gangs, drugs, robberies, everything. And I was lost. But in that moment, in that cell, in that prison, in a maximum security prison, that I didn't supposed to be there. But I was there because I got an appointment with God. And God sent this guy that I call my black angel. I was not allowed to speak to black people or white people. But that day, he put a seed in my heart that God retouched 7 years later in Sydney, Australia, from America to Australia. And before I kill myself, I remember the book that it says that if you really, really want to know God, that you have to talk to Him with all of your heart. So how am I, can I give my whole heart? I don't know. I don't know how to do that. So I said, whatever it is. So God, if you're there, I heard about you I don't know you, I don't know if you're there, but if you're there, please make a miracle with my back or I will die today. And at the moment, I saw a screen with all my sins, things that nobody knew, were all recorded with precision. I was so upset and I was thinking, I never gave permission to anyone to record my sins. I never signed a contract. But that was bigger than me because I saw all my sins, lies, robberies, drugs, sex, everything. Everything was recorded. And I was so scared because my back problem was so big, but now it became so small. And my sins, they became really huge. And I said, God, forgive my back. If this is you, forgive my back. If you forgive my sins, I will give you my heart. Because I remember what the book said. So now, because God healed me that time, and then now last week I thought I broke my blessing, you know, because God healed me, save me and healed me anyway. So 100%, the doctor almost fainted. I was going in a quadriplegic, understand this, in a wheelchair for life. I walked to the doctor's office. Doctor, what do you reckon? I can dance again. And a brother prayed for me. And now last week I was in so much pain that I didn't know if this stuff was going to come back to me, because I know what it is to have a very bad pain. It is very painful. You can't do nothing. You cannot cough. You cannot talk. You can't do nothing. So I really thank you, Pastor, and the church for praying for me. Now my back is well. I can move again. I can dance again. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah, brother, thank you so much. Praise God. We're going to open the altar for prayer now. And if you have to go, God bless you. But I just feel like the Lord wants to do a lot of work here today. So I'm going to ask Mike to do a bit of worship. And Rachel, do you have something to share? Okay, if you want some prayer, come to the altar. The prayer team will love to pray for you as well. Rachel's got a word in her heart to share.
Hello. I've been waiting all morning, actually, to share.